Hello, everybody, and welcome back to Disneyland Paris Now, where we'll be covering news and stories about, you guessed it, Disneyland Paris. I'm Eric Anderson, and this is the episode for the fourth week of December. Merry Christmas and happy holidays. Today, we'll be talking about planning a trip to the most magical place in Europe, Disneyland Paris. But first, did you guys hear about the massive solar power plant which Disneyland Paris is planning to build? The plant would supply 15% of the electricity for the entire resort. It's awesome. It follows the recent opening of a similar facility at Walt Disney World in Orlando, Florida. According to a report in the New York Times, it's expected to generate enough renewable energy to power two of the four theme parks there. In Walt Disney World, I mean. The documents also reveal that Disneyland Paris has, quote, initiated the steps to develop a park of photovoltaic panels on the visitor parking lot to generate 33 gigawatt hours per year, representing about 15% of the electrical energy currently consumed. This project is, however, subject to the agreement of the Regulation Energy Commission, end quote. The plan to build a solar power plant at Disneyland Paris has been on the drawing board for a while now. The British newspaper The Independent first reported it back in 2010, and the details haven't changed much since then. Sorry, you guys, by the way, if I'm sounding a bit raspy. I got the worst cold a few days back, so excuse me. The Disneyland Paris management was actually initially considering covering its main car park with canopies, which would be coated in solar cells and then would also collect the rainwater. This would reduce the water consumption, whilst the solar energy would be used on site or sold back into the grid. Based on the electricity consumption of a theme park, though, I can pretty much imagine it stays on site. The current plan purely focuses on solar power and seems to stand a better chance of proceeding than before. The resort now has even more of an emphasis on the development of clean energy, and the solar power project is fully aligned with its commitment to sustainability. About 5 years ago, Disneyland Paris actually opened a water treatment and recycling plant, making it the only theme park in Europe with this kind of facility. Every minute, the park produces about 1,389 liters of recycled water, which is then used for street cleaning, as well as filling the resort's waterways, the irrigation system, and the cooling towers of its power plant. So that all sounds really cool. I mean, I'm loving that they're taking this initiative to try to make the parks as green as possible, don't you? Save Mother Earth! Yes, so planning a trip to Disneyland Paris. If you're on an overseas trip, you're likely traveling throughout Europe and within France, so it's definitely worth planning about 2 to 3 days in Paris, and definitely more if you're planning on visiting Disneyland Paris, but we'll get to that later. Paris is a beautiful city with so much history, and located right outside in Marne-la-Vallée-Chessy is Disneyland Paris. Should you visit, especially if you've been to Disneyland or Walt Disney World or Tokyo Disney Sea or Tokyo Disneyland or Shanghai? Most definitely. That is, if you enjoyed your time at the American or other international counterparts, you'll be sure to love Disneyland Paris, which captures some of the same magic but adds many unique elements on top. As a resort, it's sort of a hybrid of Disneyland and Walt Disney World. It's small. The resort consists of two theme parks, its eponymous castle-based flagship park, and the movie-making themed Walt Disney Studios. Soon to be less about the movie-making part, but that's for another podcast. The resort also includes 6 on-site hotels, 2 Disney Nature Resorts, 2 convention centers, a 27-hole golf course, and the 44,000 square meter shopping and dining district, Disney Village, which is, I guess, Disneyland Paris's version of Disney Springs, if you're familiar with Walt Disney World. Outside of Tokyo DisneySea, this is probably the best park Disney has built, well, in my opinion. Disneyland Paris is thematically and visually congruent. The resort offers amazing lines of sight. Disneyland Paris uses its space better than any other Disney castle-type park. We've also got several unique attractions that you can't find in any other Disney park around the world. Some of the more notable ones include the likes of Crush's Coaster, a Finding Nemo-themed spinning roller coaster-type ride, Ratatouille The Adventure, a motion-based trackless 3D dark ride based on the Ratatouille film, which, by the way, is also making its way over to Epcot in the US, but it's not there yet, and we've got it here in Paris, so come check out the original. And last but not least, Le Château de la Belle en Bois Dormant, underneath the castle of Disneyland Park, a dragon slumbers. And it's one of the most impressive animatronics in the world. You'll also find staple of attractions like Big Thunder Mountain, Space Mountain, although they're quite different in Disneyland Paris, though I won't go into too much detail here on this episode of the podcast since we've got so much ground to cover. There are dedicated episodes of the Disneyland Paris Now podcast that will focus just on those rides. Actually, the one for Big Thunder Mountain already exists, so hang on tight for the Space Mountain version that's soon to come. So when's a good time to visit? So there is some good news. Following its 25th anniversary celebration, which is now over, Disneyland Paris is looking fabulous. Thanks to the large-scale refurbishments before the anniversary, much of the park has been restored to its original splendor. Now, because of the announced expansion, the threshold question for a lot of people is whether now is a good time to go, or if you should wait. If you're looking at the near term, so 2019 and 2020 are both pretty much equally good. There's not much on the immediate horizon for Disneyland Paris, so we'd recommend planning more around seasonal events like Halloween or Christmas than around a particular year. June or August are great if you're looking for warmer weather, which averages in at about 23 degrees, with, well, a decent chance of rain all year round. It's definitely worth checking the weather forecast a few days before you visit, so you can decide whether or not to bring your favorite Mickey-shaped umbrella. Let's talk long term. Disneyland Paris has announced some big plans that involve Marvel, Star Wars, and Frozen as part of a $2.5 billion revitalization of the Walt Disney Studios Park. This multi-year development of Walt Disney Studios Park will roll out in phases starting in 2021. Even then, though, it's highly likely that certain smaller elements will debut earlier at the end of that range. Although the bulk of the expansion will accumulate ahead of the Paris 2024 Summer Olympics. If you're only going to visit Disneyland Paris once in your life, spring 2024 will probably be the quote-unquote best time to go, as all the expansions will be finished and you'll beat the Olympic crowds. However, going out on a limb here, most of you listening to this today probably aren't planning a trip for 5 to 6 years in the future. If you're wondering whether you should visit France this year or the next, well, it really won't make much of a difference. As for planning your trip around the crowds, you probably don't need to. A good rule of thumb is just to avoid the Friday to Sunday slot, since that's when most of the locals and the people who are just planning a short trip over the weekend go. If you want to get a general feel, there's some good crowd calendars available, and I'll put a link in the show description. And generally, you'll be able to see everything in 2 to 3 days, regardless of crowd level. One last thing to definitely remember is to check for ride closures or refurbishments, no matter when you decide to visit, just to make sure that the thing you really wanted to experience will be open when you do come around. You can check all closures on the official Disneyland Paris website. I'll put another link in the show notes. What is the best way to get to Disneyland Paris? So there are so many options. If you're arriving in Paris's Charles de Gaulle Airport, the fastest way to get there is by taking the high-speed train, the TGV. Tickets range between 24 to 28 euros and are available at the SNCF website and at dedicated counters at the airport. Or if you're arriving at Orly Airport, you can take an Uber, a taxi, and there's even shuttle bus services available. We actually did arrive in Orly on our last trip and took an Uber to Disneyland Paris, which was super convenient, and it took about 35 minutes and cost around 56 euros. If you're starting off at Paris City Center, so let's say Châtelet, for example, of course, you have the Uber taxi option to get to Disneyland Paris. However, there's also a local train option with the RER Line A, which is marked in red on the maps, heading to Marne-la-Vallée-Chassis. And on several of the info boards, Park Disneyland with the little Mickey pictogram is actually marked there as well. As you probably have already inferred, Park Disneyland is referring to Disneyland Paris. Depending on the time of day, like rush hour in the mornings or evenings, when traffic is not so great, the trains might actually be the best way to go. Either way, the best option with the least amount of stress is definitely to stay on site. A day in the parks, even though they're crazy fun, do take their toll. And I, for one, am completely bushed and happy if I only have a 10-minute walk to the hotel rather than an hour's commute ahead of me. Plus, when you stay on site, you do get the extra magic hours, which let you into the parks an hour before everybody else. This is a really great chance to, like, get a few extra rides in on your favorite attraction. Which brings us to where to stay. Let me give you a quick overview of the on-site hotels. And by that, I mean the hotels that are located on Disney property, offer shuttle service to the parks, and that you could theoretically walk to on foot. Starting off with the budget-friendly hotels, it's the two key. Oh, and by the way, when I say keys, I mean, well, that's Disney's equivalent to stars. The two key Hotel Santa Fe. So I've talked about the Santa Fe before in detail on the first episode of the podcast, but the basics are it's a 20-minute walk away from the parks. They also offer a free shuttle service, and its theming is Route 66 combined with cars. So if you're a huge Cars movie fan, this might be your choice. But just be warned that if you're staying here in the summer, there's no air conditioning in the room. So just a fair warning for you guys. And this only applies to the Hotel Santa Fe. Next up is the Hotel Cheyenne, another two-key resort. It's a 20-minute walk away from the parks. They also offer free shuttle service to the parks. And it's themed to the old-timey Wild West style, with some nods to Toy Story along the tapestry, lamp accents, and imagery throughout the rooms. Our first and only three-key hotel is the Disneyland Sequoia Lodge. It's also the first hotel we're going to cover located by Lake Buena Vista, which is a big lake surrounded by Disney Village and the two other park hotels, which we're just going to cover in a moment here. It's a 50-minute walk from both parks, and it's inspired by a mountain retreat, and the rooms feature some nods to Bambi. This is also the first hotel we're talking about that has an indoor pool and a fitness room. Up next is the Four Key Newport Bay Club, inspired by a 1900s coastal mansion. The rooms have some subtle nods to Mickey and his friends, like the Mickey-shaped headboard pieces, which are cute. The hotel has a fitness room, an indoor pool, and an outdoor pool, just in case you want to dip your feet in some refreshing water after a day in the parks. Also, you're totally my hero if you do, because I am beat after a theme park day I could not even manage. Also, there's the Four Key Hotel New York, which will close its doors on January 2019 and reopen in 2020 as Disney's Hotel New York, The Art of Marvel, which will showcase the world of superheroes, including Iron Man, The Avengers, and Spider-Man. I'm super curious to see what the rooms will truly look like when they're finished. If they end up like the concept art, they're going to be super modern, with brightly colored Marvel poster print accents on the wall. It looks pretty cool. Last and definitely not least is the Five Key Disneyland Hotel. It's the only luxury resort on property and is located, well, pretty much almost inside the Disneyland park. There are several rooms that offer a view of the park. The so-called Castle Club rooms even feature a VIP entrance and an elevator directly to the parks. The hotel also offers room service, a spa, a fitness room, swimming pool, and character dining. Oh, and I almost forgot to mention that the Castle Club level rooms also get a VIP Fastpass, which is basically the Fastpass Ultimate. This lets you use the Fastpass entrance for any ride that features it as many times as you want. Don't have to wait in line. That'll definitely make the most of your day. So, what's my personal recommendation on where to stay? Well, if you're in the mood for luxury, you definitely can't go wrong with the Disneyland Hotel. You're right outside the park, and it's really a drop-dead gorgeous Victorian-esque grand hotel. If you're in the market for a mid-range comfort, I would recommend the Newport Bay Club, which is my hotel of choice. It just strikes a great balance between comfort and cost. On the budget-friendly side, I would recommend the Hotel Cheyenne over the Santa Fe. After doing some research online, I discovered that the rooms in the Cheyenne are in slightly better condition than the Santa Fe. So if you're in the market for budget, that's probably the way to go. Now, one thing I did not go into too much detail here yet, but just wanted to mention are the Disney Nature Resorts. There are two resorts. The Noki, yeah, you heard right, Noki Disney's Davy Crockett Ranch, which are basic cabins located on the outskirts of the property. It's a 15-minute drive to the park, so by car, can't walk, and they do not offer any sort of shuttle service. So this should only be considered if you are visiting with your own car or a rented car. But honestly, it just wouldn't be my cup of tea because once you arrive at the parks, you have to wait in line to find a parking spot. It's just not worth it. The Davy Crockett Ranch does, however, have a pool and a water slide, a tennis court, so that's nice. Also, I just checked on the website. It says, please note that the pool will be closed, I'm guessing for maintenance, from the 14th of January 2019. To the 8th of February 2019. So that's a thing to note if you're planning to visit very soon. So Les Villages Nature Paris is a 4-key resort and a modern architectural dream that opened in 2017. The place is drop-dead gorgeous and features a neat indoor water park. The reason I haven't talked about this before is because I really can't recommend it. We've been reading about a lot of complaints from guests who've stayed there on TripAdvisor. I was checking over all these resorts, and I mean, this one really has a crazy amount of complaints about the cleanliness and the service and the staff. So if you're considering staying here, I would definitely be sure to check TripAdvisor beforehand to see that the issues have been nullified or that you can live with them. Again, this is also the kind of place where you want to have your own car. Like the Davy Crockett Ranch, it's a 50-minute drive. Unlike the Davy Crockett Ranch, there's also a public shuttle available to the parks, but it takes 25 minutes and there's an extra service charge. All of the hotels I mentioned can be booked over a third-party website, except for the Disneyland Hotel Castle Club level rooms, which have to be booked directly over telephone. And there's a hotline number available on the website. Again, I'll put another link in the show notes. So if you're planning on staying on any of the other resorts, be sure to check your favorite third-party website to see that. Well, just, you know, compare prices a bit and see where you get a good deal. It's definitely worth spending that extra 5 minutes. Well, you guys, I really hope this gave you just a really basic overview of the resort. I mean, we're totally just dipping our toes in the water here. There's so much we could just talk forever. I think I'm going to do an extra episode on food. Let me know if you're interested in hearing about that. We do have one listener question. This one's from Danielle Herrick. So is there any way to check the wait times throughout the park, like the Disney World app here in the States? And the answer to that is yes, and I would definitely recommend downloading it. There's a dedicated Disneyland Paris app, and it lets you check show, parade times, buy fast passes, as well as see the opening hours, and definitely check the live wait times for all the attractions in both parks. Disneyland Paris does offer some rather sporadic Wi-Fi coverage, which works nicely when you do have it, most of the time located near some big buildings or restaurants. But yeah, definitely get the app. It's 100% worth it. Definitely available for iPhone and iOS, and it should be available for Android as well. So thank you so much, Danielle, for that excellent question. If you hear any interesting Disneyland Paris news, or you have some cool stories you'd just like to get in touch, you can reach us at disneylandparisnow@yahoo.com. You can also find us on Twitter at @NowDisneyland and on Instagram under Disneyland_Paris_now. Thank you to mousehacking.com, disneytouristblog.com, and dlpguide.com, all of which are the excellent sources for the information compiled in this episode of the podcast. Thank you so much for joining me today for Disneyland Paris Now. This is Eric Anderson. Have a great day. Bye-bye.